used to be tag team partner of Eddie Mansfield, a wrestler who's just told us how every match is fake. I ask Schultz questions that I assume all wrestlers have been asked dozens of times.
What? Is this a good business?
Yeah, it's a good business. I wouldn't be in it if it wasn't.
Why is it a good business?
Because only the tough survive. That's the reason you ain't in it. And this punk holding the camera reading he ain't in it. Reading these rednecks out here ain't in it because it's a tough business.
That's terrific.
What? Is that all you got?
I'll ask you the standard question. You know?
Standard question.
I think this is fake.
You think it's fake?
What's that? Is that fake?
Huh? What the hell's wrong with you? That's open hand slap, huh? You think it's fake? What do you mean?
We love the 1980s wrestling era when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lainey Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
Please welcome in our new sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Go to underdogfantasy.com and you'll discover that Underdog Fantasy is the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. Underdog Fantasy lets you draft a fantasy dream team in minutes. Sign up now with the code POWERTRIP and you'll double your first deposit up to $100 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit of $10 or more. That's right, deposit $100 and get $100 for free. Underdog keeps it simple with their easy-to-use website and mobile apps. Pick between 2 and 5 players to fill out your pick 'em slip. Get every pick right and take home some cold, hard cash. Use that promo code POWERTRIP and get your first deposit doubled up by $100 by Underdog. That's underdogfantasy.com. Use the promo code POWERTRIP today.
The upcoming presentation is a two-man power trip of wrestling podcast production.
What's up, guys? It's the phenomenal AJ Styles. You're listening to the two-man power trip.
Hey, Johnny. Cool, man. What's going on? We ready to go or what?
Ready to go, Dr. D, the former 3-time Stampede North American champion, former AWA Southern Tag Team champion, a legendary former WWF superstar. Dr. D, what is going on? What's going on in your world? What have you been up to?
Well, I'm just trying to stay alive and, you know, just hanging around and building fences to keep dogs away from me. I got bit by a dog here about 3 weeks ago as I was trying to build a fence, and they thought I might have had rabies, and I said, nah, I ain't got no rabies, but him, the dog, like, broke my leg. He's about 5 feet tall. I don't know, one of them Malamutes or whatever. Anyway, but, you know, I'm trying to take care of, do my honeydew list. I don't have a honeydew list no more. I got a honeydew book with chapters in it. You know, I'm trying to relax. You know, I'm tired of going around beating people up. Everybody's scared of me. Nobody wants to get in the ring with me, and everybody wants to tell a bunch of lies. Nobody wants to tell the truth about anything. And I just can't hardly stand it when people lie and nobody do nothing about it. Now, if you watch TV, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Lie, lie, lie. That's all they do is sit up and lie, lie, lie to each other, everything. I done got where I watch a black and white TV in my shop now with one of these things you stick in the window to get the channels that they don't show on cable or dish or anything anymore. And it's some of the best TV I ever seen, man, 1950s, 1960s. But I'm just trying to keep my head low. I do a lot of autograph sessions, and I don't do a lot. I've cut them down, but, you know, I'm trying to stop. But people keep calling me about them, and they want to pay me such good money, I have to go, you know. But anyway, I'm still alive and in color. Everybody says I'm dead. Nope, not dead. Everybody says I run off to another country. Nope, I did go to Poland for 3 years, and thinking about going back over there, but they're kind of talking bad stuff about Poland now, and, you know, nuclear war, and I don't want to get accused of that. Yeah, it's, you know, they accuse me of everything else, but anyway, I'm still alive and in color, man, and still doing good, and I sent you that little clip about the book. I didn't know if you had the book or not.
Yes.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, of course. Autographed by you. Yep.
Oh, there you go. I thought it might have been. I wasn't sure, though, because, you know, I've been doing real good with them books. I thought that it was going to kind of die off in a while, you know. But, darn, it seemed like they're doing better now than they was before. And, you know, I'm working on another one, but it's something I can't talk about. And the writer that's going to write it for me, he's scared to death. I'm going to have to fire him. I can't say that. Hey, it's the truth. You want to tell the truth or you want to lie? If you're going to lie, go somewhere else. I'm not talking to you no more, you know. And he said, you mean all this is true? Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I was probably the only veteran that Vince McMahon had working for him when I first went up there in 84. And, you know, nobody ever, they didn't, oh, yeah, you was a veteran. Hey, if you don't think I was a veteran, forget it, okay? Just forget it. I'm not trying to make you believe anything. So I got where I wouldn't talk to anybody hard, you know. And all of them want to, you know, people want a false front, you know. Nobody wants to tell the truth. Everybody wants to make believe character. Let me tell you, I'm a cartoon character. I'm an exhibitionist. I'm a storyteller. I'm whatever. But one thing I'm not fake. I never have been, and I'm not scared of no man walking on the face of the earth. And I've always told them that, and they really, really got scared of me. And Vince McMahon shakes in his pants when I go around. If he's got pants on, he's probably wearing a girdle and a pair of panties, as far as I know, because he's a no-good piece of garbage. He's a liar. He's a thief. Child molester. I've been saying this for years, and I talk about it in my book. And, you know, this guy is dirty as they come. And I don't know why they haven't investigated Vince McMahon and a couple of presidential candidates. I'm sure there's a lot of money there. A lot of money going around. They got to pay a lot of, you know, what do you call them, bribes or thank you money or whatever. But, you know, if you have that much money, you can dodge all that. I could never dodge anything. I had to face it, face first, you know. And all my lawyers, they all sold me out. They, you know, and now I hear there's a show coming out called Bail Jumpers. Well, I copyrighted Bail Jumpers probably 10, 12 years ago. Manuscripts, Dick Clark, different people wanted to steal. I say they wanted to steal it from me. I told them, nope. they wanted to pay me a percentage. And I said, nope, don't want it. So I kind of put it back on the back shelf. And everybody I went to talk to about it, nobody wanted to do bail jumpers or Doc's Law or anything else. And now I've seen on TV the other day, they got bail jumpers coming out. Well, you know, people say, well, why don't you sue them? Well, I don't have the money to sue them. You better have a lot of money you sue them people. TV people and crooks and crime investigators, lawyers. But I'm going to tell you, the lawyer is going to get the biggest percentage of it, and he's going to drop you. I've been dropped by 7 or 8 attorneys during my wrestling career, and, you know, I'm sure they got paid off. And of course, they didn't tell me that, but I'm sure that's what happened, you know. But anyway, I'm happy. I have no regrets. I'm doing great, and I'm just trying to take care of my dogs and my horses and my pigs and my cows and my coyotes and my cats. I live on a funny farm, I think, you know. But
Yeah, it seems like it.
It's nice down here in Tennessee. I've got close to 100 acres and all fenced off and everything, and I kind of got some swamp in there and got some beaver dams now flooding the roads out, and I knew about it, man. The beavers are here before we were, you know. But anyway, anything on your mind specially you want to know about Dr. D?
Yeah, like the relationship with Vince. When did it go sour? I'm guessing it has to do with the John Stossel stuff. But like you said, you know maybe more of this alleged Vince stuff than most people.
Yep. Vince, when I went out, and Vince come to the dressing room that night in Madison Square Gardens, and he said, I want you to go out and blast this guy. Tear his ass up. Stay in character. Well, everybody in the dressing room heard that, but we was over in the corner, like off to the side, and but you could hear Vince and me talking, you know. So I went out, and, you know, he said, blast him, tear his ass up. To me, blast him means if he gets out of hand or out of concept, like he's trying to say that wrestling is phony, it's not real and all that. The only thing I could do was slap him. And I slapped him, and he got up, and I slapped him again. Because where I come from, if you knock a man down, you need to get ready. If he gets back up, knock him down again before he has time to hit you. So, anyway, that's the way that happened. Now, Vince paid John Stossel. I don't know exactly what he got, but he paid him off. And then later on, John Stossel's show, it was John Stossel's TV show, he said, I didn't hurt anymore after I got paid. You know, he is the biggest slime ball, the biggest liar I've ever seen on national TV, and all the national TV shows like ABC cuddles him up. Oh, John, we didn't know this. We didn't know you got beat. No, he didn't get beat. He got slapped. And he deserved it. Everything he got, he deserved it. He didn't deserve the money he got, but Vince gave him that. I had nothing to do with it. I wasn't filed any charges against me. I never went to court. I never talked to lawyers. I never done anything. Vince McMahon paid him off, and then he told me, you take the blame for all this, and, you know, basically he was saying, take the blame for it, and I'll take care of you. No. I'm not going out there and tell anybody that I did anything on my own. You're the one. And everybody knows you don't go out to do an interview in Madison Square Gardens unless the boss tells you to do it. Nobody can just walk in there and start doing an interview. So everybody knew what happened, but nobody could talk because Vince would have fired him on the spot. So I was the lone, I guess we can call him the lone ranger, a lone wrestler. Nobody stand up for me or anything else. And I told him, I said, well, he said, if you don't tell them that, you know, I'm going to send you to different countries. And they said, no, you're not sending me nowhere. I'm not going anywhere else for you because I know how it is in Egypt and I know how it is in Saudi Arabia and all that. I've been to all of them. And it's really easy to get rid of somebody over there. A lot easier than people think. But anyway, we kind of partied. 7 years later, the lawsuit that I had against Vince, my lawyer comes in and says, hey, we've been doing this 7 years. I'm going to have to drop you. Well, wait a minute. Drop it. 7 years? You're going to drop me? And we got everything against Vince. We got him nailed to the wall on this thing. Everybody's talking now, and he said, no, I'm going to have to drop you. Well, then you need to pay me the money I've paid you. And his name was Timmy Mortahan out of Waterbury, Connecticut. What a slime ball he turned out to be. And anyway, I got my money back. I paid him up front, and then there was a little bit of money paid. You know, Vince wanted to pay me. I didn't want it. I told him I don't want it. And he said, well, if I don't give it to you, I'm going to have to give him a check back. It's like you're giving him money. I don't want it. Go and keep it. About a month later, he called me. If you don't get this check, David, I'm going to have to give it back to Vince, and I'm still dropping you. Well, you don't need to call me no more because I don't want to talk to you no more. Anyway, that's just one of them. And, you know, you run into a lot of con men. Poor old boy from Tennessee, I just thought people was good for their word. Man tells you something, that's what it was. His word is it's gospel. Excuse me. And, you know, that's the way. And then all of a sudden all these people tell you this. You're wanting to believe them because it's supposed to be that way. And then all of a sudden you find out everybody's lying to you. Everything they say, lie. But that Vince got me on that. And one day, maybe, Lord knows, if they don't hang him or shoot him or something, I'll get to meet him face to face again. And that's a day I've been looking for a long time. And my wife said, oh, you're just going to get in a lot of trouble. Oh, really? And my wife's my best support, you know. She's like been behind me all the time, you know. Leave him alone, stay away from him, don't go near him. And, you know, that's what I guess I took her advice and didn't go looking for him or anything. Didn't have nothing to discuss with him, so I didn't want to be near him after I found out all of the harassment of kids, sexual charges against him for kids and women and this here and that. Oh, man, this guy is loaded with criminal activity. But that's good. They can all enjoy it, I guess. And I was just wondering how Linda got a job with Trump in the White House after he got elected. But that's another story, too. I'll never know. But a lot of favors was done there, and I don't know why they don't investigate these people. I mean, the Internal Revenue Service, they had them on me. They audited me 5 years straight in a row. Because Vince wanted them to, you know, on the lawsuit. Everything, they tried to take my house from me in Connecticut and Tennessee and Minnesota and different places, people, the apartments and stuff I had, and wanted to put my wife out on the street. I said, y'all are telling with very dangerous stuff now, you know. So it got dropped real quick about trying to take my properties and stuff from me for no reason, because they got money and they can run over anybody they want to. But I told them the buck stops here. You know, you're not running over me anymore. And it's been a struggle. You start talking about it, it goes on and on for year after year after year after year. And who loses? I lose. The lawyers don't lose. Vince don't lose. I mean, come on, I'm the only one that lost, and everybody asked me, why don't you sue? I ain't suing nobody. I don't want to sue nobody. I don't want to get involved with nobody no more because I don't have enough money to do that. I got enough to make it until the end if it ain't too soon. I mean, yeah. If it don't last too long, but anyway, what a life, man. Probably one of the toughest pro wrestlers ever was. And like, yes. I told you, I was scared of no man. And you know, just never seemed to catch a break, but I made my own breaks everywhere I went. I took care of myself, took care of business. Everybody loved me for working with me, or, you know, except for the big head guys that thought they were really tough and knew they wasn't tough and knew I wasn't going to back down from them. So, you know, I made a name for myself, and I don't know if it was good or not. I guess it was. I'm still, you know, in demand some places, and that's the way that goes. So what else you want to know about? Get Vince on my mind.
Well, what did you think of those allegations on Vince? I mean, it's been out there now. I don't know if you read all that stuff and all the stuff that's out there, but what did you think when you saw that?
Well, on what now?
All those allegations with Vince.
Oh, I knew it's true. Everything's true. This guy is a scumbag. I mean, he's as big a scumbag you could ever want to be around. And that's one reason I was so disgusted when this guy got away with everything. And he got away with it and got away with it. Nobody could pin him down, you know. And then all of a sudden, a few people won lawsuits against him. But, you know, then he come back like Rita Marie Chatterton, the referee, the lady that, you know, referee and Vince had made her have sex with him, or she wasn't going to have a job anymore. And he, oh, that's all sire rape. She didn't do that. She did this. She did that. She did that, blah, 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 blah. Then here last year, or a year or two later, I hear he paid her off after calling her a liar and everything else. He agreed. He paid her off, and she come out pretty good on it, I guess. I mean, you know, but it's just, you know, and kids. I mean, this guy abused kids and everything and got away with it just because he got money. And he got money by lying, cheating, scumbag tricks and anything else he could do. And, but, you know, I guess he's happy with it. I mean, I don't know if I could be happy everybody knowing that I was a piece of garbage like that still walking around, but that's the way it goes, you know.
Would you say Vince is the reason you and Hulk kind of had a big falling out? Because you and Hulk were buddies for a while, and you guys had awesome chemistry together in those matches in 84, the Minnesota Massacre and everything else.
Yeah, we was Terry and me, we were good friends, probably the best of friends. I let him stay at my house when he first come down to Pensacola. I let him stay at my house in Tennessee because he had nothing but a van to sleep in. And I let him stay at our house. And, you know, I mean, I thought we were a friendship that would never be broken. Then all of a sudden it come up in New York that Vince told him, you get away from David, stay away from him. It's either Schultz or me. And I guess Hogan chose him, which was probably the best choice for him. But, you know, it's when Hogan went in and told Vince, David's going to beat me for the belt on national TV. And Vince said, well, why don't you beat him? You beat him. But anyway, that's the story, the way the story went, you know. And then Vince had to get rid of me. He had to create something to get rid of me, like all the home videos, which wasn't my home, wasn't my wife, wasn't my kids. Everything I did was Vince created it. All the guns, all the shows that I did, because he wanted me to be the baddest person ever walked. Bad mean, just mean. And I guess he got it done, you know. But, you know, Hogan, I never spoke to him since then, that day. And that was a long time ago. But he's getting what he reaped. You know, you reap what you sow. And he's getting it now, so, you know, let him enjoy himself. And Vince, too, let him enjoy his life, because he's getting paid back for what he sowed. And Hogan, too. Hogan screwed around a lot of people in his business just for the almighty dollar. Which, hey, that's the way they roll. That's the way it should go. Me, I just have a good time. That's all I do. Like I said, I'm not fake. I'm not they can call me a cartoon character. They can call me a storyteller. They can call me anything they want to call me. Just don't call me fake, because I'm not fake. I'm entertaining, and probably entertainer of the year, but they never give that to me either. Yeah, always stop me.
Now, Rowdy Roddy Piper said that you basically, in front of the whole locker room, when Vince first became owner and took over for his dad, that you basically punked out Vince. Is that true? Did you call him out in front of the boys and tell him, you know, get the hell out of the locker room? Or is that not true?
No, I never did that. No, I never did that. As I can remember, I didn't. We had an incident in Rhode Island one time that Vince come up to me, and I was fixing to dump one of the guys' head in the commode. And Vince come in and said, "David, leave these guys alone. They're all scared of you, but I'm not." I said, "Well, you should be the one that's scared of me more than any of the rest of them." Now, I don't know if that's what he's talking about or what, you know. No, I never called him out in front of nobody. I did my business. If I had something to say to Vince, I'd go to his office, or we would go off to the side, you know. Because I thought Vince was an upstanding guy at that time, because I dealt with his father for a while. A nice guy. Nice guy. Tell you something, that's the way it was. And you think the son would be like the father. Well, I found out different real quick. But no, Roddy Piper, a lot of guys like to talk about me. A lot of guys like to tell stories about me. And just because it's me, and they think they can get attention by talking about me. And when they include themselves in the scenario, they think they're getting over, like, you know, "Hey, yeah, I was there when Dr. D slapped that guy. I was there when Dr. D did this. I was there when Dr. D did this." None of them was anywhere around any time, as I know of stories that they're talking about. Everybody talk about Randy Savage and me. Now, Randy and me was good friends. We'd been good friends for years and years and years before he come up. We was partners in Memphis before he went to the WWF at that time. And, you know, I don't think I've ever had a cross word with Randy, you know. But everybody else said, "Oh, no, Schultz and Randy Savage fixing to have it out, blah, blah, blah." Why? Because they believe what we say on TV, and they believe that we're mad at each other, try to make money. That's what we're supposed to do. Rocky Johnson, very good friend of mine, great worker. We always got along great. We was in matches with him and Tony Atlas. Well, Rocky would tell me, "Doc, everything good, man, everything cool." I said, "Well, what's wrong with Tony?" "He's all right." And Tony would come up to me and say, "Hey, Doc, why are you talking about my father, man? Tony, I never knowed your father, but I'm sure he was black like you." And Tony looked at me like, "Huh?" I said, "Never mind, Tony." It just kind of went over his head, you know.
Yep.
Well, you shouldn't talk about tying him up and beating him with a belt and everything. Well, I didn't know he was your father at that time. Huh? Oh, God. Oh, man. It just, you know, I said, I better quit right here before I, you know, we're scrambling this thing up for Tony. And today I see Tony. He's like, you know, hugs my neck. "Doc, how you doing? Everything good?" Maybe somebody smartened him up that it was all entertainment. Rocky Johnson was a great entertainer. He knew, I went with him to visit his mother and Dwayne when Dwayne was 7 or 8 years old. And in Hawaii, we had a good time, everything, and never forget it. They treated me great, you know. And always, always good friends. But everybody else said, "Oh, man, oh, you're getting mad. Everybody's mad at him. Everybody's mad." Hey, what are we out here for? We're out here to make money. And how do you make money? You make people mad, and they pay to see you get beat. And as long as they don't beat you, you make money. Once they beat you in the middle of the ring, they don't need you anymore. But that's what we're there for, to make money. We're not there for our health, you know. And never missed a match in my life, never, not one time. And even in the events today, when I get these events, I drive up to Massachusetts, I drive to New York, I drive out Boston, I drive to Arizona, I don't fly unless it's absolutely an emergency or need to or something, you know. I love to drive, and I never missed a show, not one time. time in my whole career. And that's the way it was. I was booked as my job, and I, you know, never have somebody say, well, he wasn't going to be here anyway. But that's the business, though. That's the business. And why should I know them? And, you know, I didn't know any of them. None of them at that time. Now I still don't know them. I've seen them there, and, you know, they come up, they all want to shake my hand. They just, here, this, here, this, here. And some of them don't even want to talk to me or look at me because they're still mad at me, I guess. I don't know. Don't care. But that's my problem. I just got the I don't care attitude, you know. And that's just what I was, you know.
Now,
I know you got something on your mind you want to ask.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking about Mr. T. Mr. T, remember Mr. T,
yep.
The old A-team, B.A.
Yep.
Baracus?
Yep.
What was that like with T? Because didn't you and him get into it?
No, me and him never got into it. What happened to Mr. T, he was in L.A., I was in the ring, and he was out with Tora Tanaka, which is a good friend of mine, and Mr. T was sitting there with him, and we were just egging it on, Tanaka and Mr. T. And I told him, come on up into the ring, and I'll make you shine my shoes. Well, the Enquirer got a hold of it, and they said that Mr. T backed down all this here. Then the next thing was Hogan said that I slapped Mr. T in front of him. You know, it was a lie. And everybody else said that Mr. T was coming into the ring that night. They removed me from L.A., and me and Mr. T was talking. We was going to eat dinner after the match towards Tanaka, Mr. T, and myself. By the time I got back, Mr. T was the reason that we were, and you almost lost me. I said, well, maybe I've talked long enough on him. He thought I was going to talk 10 minutes, you know.
No, keep going.
I got a lot to talk about. I mean, people, they say, man, this guy's got story. Well, hey, I'm an old man. I got a lot of stories, I've always been in the middle of action. Bounty hunting, working in Egypt as an engineer, Sikorsky Aircraft for 3 years. I mean, worked Germany, worked all these places, and one of the greatest bounty hunters there ever was. And, you know, when you do a book, they have these fact checkers, and they wanted a fact checker, like receipts, where you brought people in. Well, at that point, 20,000 was probably, I had receipts for and everything. And, you know, I brought in, not 20,000. I'm sitting here coughing out here. Ain't got no water here in my shop. Anyway. But 4,000 people I brought in, and 2,000 they got receipts for, and when they checked the stories on them. And the other 2,000, I said, listen, a lot of these guys I got the day they missed court. They'd call me. I'd go get them at the house or shop where they, you know, no receipts. Just grab them and say, hey, you're under arrest. Let's go. And a lot of them, most of them was out of state, like California, Florida, Georgia, wherever. I track them down, you know. But we ain't got into that yet. I just wanted to tell you that I've had a lot of stories behind me, you know, doing things. But Mr. T, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I got
yeah.
off track there. Yeah. No, Mr. T and me was good friends. We had no problem with anything. They created the problem with Mr. T and me. Everybody talked and this year, and they said that I got mad because he was in WrestleMania 1. That's not true. I'm glad he got the spot, you know, because Vince got rid of me 2 or 3 months before. And, you know, he had to cover it somewhere, but I guess he had it planned in his mind to cover it all along and start these stories on me. But that's the way it was. I never slapped him. He never slapped me. And, you know, never had really a bad word with him. I mean, you know, I hate that I missed that dinner that night with Tanaka and him, you know, in L.A., but I was told to leave the area and don't come back. The police And, you know, so I had to get to the airport and get back to New York. So I was kind of like Clem Cadilla Hopper. I don't know, you probably too young know Clem Cadilla Hopper. I just throwed out the back door. They throwed my bags out behind me. And I'm in the back of the building. And my bags are out there. And the police just throwed me out the back door. Well, that's the way it was. That's what they do in L.A. They, you know, do what they want. Now they're doing it all over the world. But, yep, that's the way it was.
So no real heat with UNT at all, just made up.
Do what now?
It's just kind of made up, the heat with you and Mr.
Yeah, he made up stuff on me. But they made it up as not the truth, but lies to go along. They didn't want the true story because it sounded too good. So they wanted to make up things like me and Mr. T. Oh, no, Mr. T slapped him or he slapped Mr. T. And they were going to have a fight and they had to get pulled apart. No, 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 no. Pictures in my book showed me and Mr. T in the Coliseum hallway just before the match that night where Tanaka and Mr. T and myself was going to eat dinner afterwards. You know, that picture was taken just before the match. So, I mean, no, all that crap. And I don't know if Mr. T ever said anything about it. You know, when Hogan had Belzer in front face lock and cut his hair off, knocked him out, that TV, you know, Mr. T was with him then. But, you know, he shouldn't have did that, but he did. But he got no, I don't know how much it cost him. I guess Belzer, I guess, bought him a nice house somewhere in Italy or Spain, somewhere, something they said. But they just said that. I never repeated that because I didn't know the facts. I didn't think it was true, but I don't know. I don't know. I don't repeat stuff unless I know it's true. And half the things I see, I don't believe. Nothing I hear, I believe. I mean, you got to, let me tell you one thing I don't do. I don't, oh, go on. I'm going to get my dog, get him up here and get me a drink of water or something. But, you know, people just, they just like to make up stories and talk about it. Like Wayne Ferris, Honky Tonk Man. He made a statement that I said I was going to drop a bomb in on Vince's house, kill everybody in his house, blow his house up and everything. Well, I hadn't talked to Honky Tonk Man since Calgary, Stu Hart, and never talked to him since he'd been with Vince or that I was with Vince. And that never crossed my lips to drop a bomb in on Vince McMahon, a mortar round, I think he called it. And Wayne has made every effort he can not to be on any cards where I'm at. He's even backed out on some cards where I'm at. And I sent word to him. You don't have to worry about it, Wayne. I know you're just a liar. You lied about it, made it up. So it's made up. Don't worry about it. I don't have no regrets. I know you. I was partners with you. We rode up and down the road together for years, years, and years. He lived about 30, 40 miles from me down here in Tennessee, you know. And I could tell you a lot of stories about Wayne Ferris that would, you'd say, But then you'd say, well, you're just saying that. No, I'm not just saying anything. That's the reason I don't talk about it. But you're not going to believe it. But that's the way it is. And he feels like he could get along and get with Vince about saying that. And nope, it didn't happen. I never said that to Wayne Ferris, never ever even thought about it. And I don't know where to get no mortar rounds anyway. Where I could get some C4. Well, one time I did, not no more. I don't do stuff like that. I'm a nice guy.
He may be just trying to get like some attention or some, you know, tell crazy stories and make the interviews seem better.
Yeah, exactly. They got something to talk about. They come out there and talk about it, you know. But the thing they don't know about me is I don't forget anything. I'm getting old, And everybody talk about, boy, you don't lose your memory at all. Nope. I remember everything that I ever done. I mean, I can tell you about driving down the road with different characters, and I say something about them, and they say, you remember that? Well, it happened. My memory is that way. I just, you know, some people are gifted to remember things. And me, I remember all the good, bad, and the ugly. It don't make any difference. I remember it. And when I talk about it, I don't lie. I don't make up stories about it, you know. And people, and some of it is unbelievable. I mean, but that's the way it is. And, you know, and people used to, while I was doing the book, you know, John Cosper said, how do you remember this? And I said, well, I did it, and I remembered it, and that's, you know, yeah, but it's been so long ago. Yeah, but when you're out here in New York City at 3 o'clock in the morning and you're by yourself and you're bringing a guy in out of the swamps, I'll call it, of New York, or the bowels of New York, and you're the only person down there, I'll just say the only white guy down there, and I've got to bring a Jamaican drug dealer out of the projects, and I'm by myself 3 o'clock in the morning. I have no problem with that. Never had a problem with it. That's the reason I was so good at what I did. I'd go in, I mean, my wife would say, well, one of them's going to make it true one night, David. No. I'm too careful. And, you know, it was one night I kind of pulled my gun out and thought it was a dog coming around the corner, but it was a rat in New York City.
Oh, my God. Yeah, they got
a huge rat. Yep. I said, damn, I got to get out of here. And, you know, that's when I left. I said, I ain't going back down in there now. That rat had to be 30 pounds, 40 pounds. And he looked like he wanted to bite somebody.
Jesus.
Well, I didn't want him to bite me, so I left. And I didn't want to shoot a gun and scare everybody, so I just had a BB gun anyway. They thought it was a real one at that time. But anyway, a lot of stories like that that you know, people, you tell them and they say, oh, let that be. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It ain't no just a special occurrence. Go up there in a certain part of the concourse, Grand Concourse in New York City, and see if you don't find some rats that big. They're huge.
New York City, overpriced hellhole, big time.
Oh, my God, huge rats, man. They, you know, and they ain't scared of you either. No, not scared of you at all. They'll back you up. Hey. Excuse me, I got to go this way.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, don't worry about the goat dealers on your ankle, buddy. I mean, I think you can steal a bone or something. You know, Amazon theory is a very good idea. I mean, man, I was all over. And now I wouldn't do it. Today I wouldn't do it. I have done some as recently as last year, just go pick a guy up. Somebody's scared to pick him up because he said he's going to kill the first person come after him. So I'd go pick him up and bring him in. The bondsman say, man, you charged me a lot of money. We told you where he's at. Why didn't you go get him? I didn't want to go down there. That's right. Somebody. But, you know, I don't have no trouble. I'm not scared of these people. I mean, we're all humans. Why are you scared of a guy? I mean, if you go and you know the guy's bad and you know for a fact that he's bad and you know his reputation that he's real bad, then you go prepared for that. You know, don't walk in there. I mean, it's like taking a knife to a gunfight. Not a good idea. But anyway, that's part of the whole scenario. And that's what that book, John Cosper did a good job on it, but he said, man, we can't talk all, we had to take stuff out all the time. He said, if you put this in here, Vince is going to, you know, have it stopped. And he said, it ain't no sense working on something for a couple of years and then you can't, you know, reap the benefits. So, anyway, he did a good job, though, and he's got several books out now that's good. They send their copy of a lot. I don't have time to read everything. People send me. And John is not somebody to make up stuff, but I don't know to be true, you know. Some of the things are, you know, unbelievable. You know, when you read something that's unbelievable and you say, well, I guess that could, I want true stuff. And everything in my book is true, 100%. Nothing's made up. It was all true. And that's what, you know, I did the book about. I said, I want it true. And we had to stop because it would have been twice the size, you know, if I kept going. To, as you can tell, I got a few things to talk about.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love the title. Don't call me fake. I love that.
Don't call me fake. That's me. Don't call me anything but fake. And, you know, of course, we have people come to the match and they say, well, are you fake? I say, well, is your mama fake? and they'll go, huh? You talking about my mama? I don't even know your mama, man. But is she fake? Huh? That's the famous answer I get most of the time when I talk to people. And when they do that, I just, you know, I just lose it. I don't even want to talk to them no more when I say something and they say, huh? What do you mean, huh? How do you know my mama? Huh? I don't know. People are funny. Funny. But anyway,
now,
you know, we're going to have to get together again and do a live one.
Yeah, definitely.
I'd like to get on the... I sent you those two little clips, you know. I do those. I'm going to be in St. Louis on May the 18th with the promoter there, Herb Simmons.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Herb is a great guy, man. Him and his wife, Mickey, and, you know, Bruiser Brody's wife, Barbara, and
yep.
Darla, they all work for the Cauliflower Alley Club, Barbara and Darla. And Herb Simmons does a lot of work with Cauliflower Alley Club, but Herb Simmons is a great guy. He does good promotions, and he's another guy that I like because he's pretty straightforward, you know, but he's been doing it for 50 years, I think. So anyway, I don't know if your podcast goes there or not. I'm sure it does.
Oh, yeah.
And Herb Simmons and Mickey Simmons are running the show on May the 17th and 18th. May the 18th is the show, but the 17th they have a get-together thing before at the hotel. And, you know, but I don't know. It's really exciting out there when you can talk to somebody and you start telling these stories and it all comes back to you and it adds much. And then I say, wait a minute, I can't tell this story if I don't tell this one. If I tell this one, I can't tell this one. Wait a minute, you got five stories for one question.
Yeah,
you know,
love that.
It's just not going out here, get in the car, and go to the store. It's going out here, get in the car, and go to the store and make it back home. There's where the action is. And now it's getting where it's horrible. I mean, I travel the roads all over, and it is so bad now. And, you know, I used to go out at 12 o'clock at night is my starting time looking for people. And I'd go in, kick a person's door down at 2 o'clock in the morning and drag them out of the house. I dare you to do that today. I'm not going to do it today. But back then was the beginning of it all that you kick the wrong door down. You just say, oops, sorry. And you go. Today you kick the wrong door down, somebody's going to get shot or you're going to get arrested. And you better have the proper paperwork and all that. And, you know, it just gets all out of hand now because of all the embalming on bail bonds. And they let people go for nothing. He's wanted for murder, like that guy that killed that girl down with Arizona, Georgia, whatever. You know, the young girl.
Yep.
Hey, you know, to me, now this is my opinion, and you probably can't put it on the on Cube or anywhere else, but my opinion, everybody has a right for their own opinion. My opinion of this piece of garbage is to hang him from the highest tree you can find where everybody can see him. And it'll eliminate some of that crap. But no, they'll cuddle him up, let him go, give him a couple $1,000, get him a hotel room, and take him to the border and let him go. I don't understand how they expect. I'm not supposed to understand, though, see. You got to understand this, and you will understand this. You're like me. You're a regular person, and you can't tell me what's going on, how they're doing all this, and somebody is not suffering the consequences of it. Oh, somebody's suffering the consequences, but, you know, it's just amazing that people get away with these things today. And I just can't understand it. And I don't want to be around them. And that's one reason I don't do very little bounty hunting work. And I don't hunt too much. I just go and get people, you know. But I don't know. I'm too old. I'm getting too old. But I've had a good life. I have no regrets. And I've enjoyed it. And anytime anybody gets a chance to see me in person, I am a nice guy. And I don't bother nobody. I don't treat people bad. I've got my shirt out. I know you've seen it on one of those tapes I sent you. Don't call me fake, Dr. D.
Yes.
And it's on the book, too. I mean, you know. But, and you know, it's just everything in the book is true, though. And they'll have a lot more knowledge of me if they buy the book and read it. Because people don't really know me, as the book will explain. It's all true. Now, they will read it and say, oh, that ain't true. But it is. But anyway, listen, I'm going to have to cut it short. I want to get together with you again. Let me know a date that we can get some TV going. I didn't understand how that thing. You know, I'm out here, my computer. You know, I got a NIST satellite and all that for the computer to work. A couple of years ago, they promised, yeah, it's going to work. I tried three or four different places, AT&T, different places. Nobody can get my computer to come in. Oh, yeah, they give you a thing, say you're on a lamp, you're a dial-up or whatever. Hell, I want a picture. I don't want a picture come through, and I'm in there eating supper, and they ain't got through yet.
Right.
And then it gets cut off three or four times before it keeps. That's where I live. That's where I'm at. Right now, I'm looking out my shop window on two sides, and I can't see a house. I can't see a road. I can't see anything. And if I go out the back side, the only reason I can't see, I don't have windows in that side of my shed yet. But, you know, that's the way I like it. I got fencing all around it. I've got different little surprises for people all around it. Oh, yeah. They say, man, you got that place lit up like San Quentin. Well, I'm better than San Quentin. They not open no more. But anyway, listen, take care, and I will get back with you, and we can finish this thing up maybe in a few weeks.
Yes.
And you be sure and let people know that we're going to finish it up, and send me some facts of how I can listen to it if I'm in St. Louis or Chicago or Miami or wherever on your podcast. That, I mean, if you, the two-man power trip, is that the name of the podcast?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Does that come out every week?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Hey, you got my attention when you send me a birthday greeting. Nobody's ever sent me a birthday greeting. I mean, that was right on the birthday time. Oh, I get greetings all the time. People say, well, happy anniversary. Tell your wife, Janice. My wife's not named Janice. Well, what's her name? None of your business. Bye. I mean, I don't know. They got all kind of facts out there about me that are lies. And, you know, they say I've been
married. Yeah, the internet's wrong. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Me and my wife has just celebrated 54 years, be 55 years this year, I believe, maybe 56. But you know, I better be quiet. 56. Huh.
Congratulations.
My dog's sleeping over here next to me. He ain't going to tell me if she's coming. And she'll come out and say, you said 54, it's 58.
You got to get that right, yep.
Yeah, I can't keep nothing straight like that. I just assume. I say, well, you know, I was kind of, the dog had me scared to talk. Hey, I appreciate it, buddy. You take care and get with me and let me know. We'll get back together on this thing, okay?
All right, sounds great. Thanks,
Dr.
Right,
thank you. Have a good day.
You
appreciate
too.
It. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And, of course, get Dr. D's book, Don't Call Me Fake, the Dr. D. David Schultz story. You can get it on Amazon or you go to John Cosper's website, eatsleeprussell.com.
This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two-Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two-Man Power Trip. You can check us out on Facebook. You can subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron. And also check out the website, TMPTEmpire.com. And buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two-Man Power Trip, where the power lies. Brother.
This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a hefty, ultra-strong trash bag.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash, you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty Large Black Bags.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
D. David Schultz in the squared circle. Earlier on, we had a look at him outside of the ring area. Either way, Mr. Schultz, again, we'd like to state that I've never met a man who exudes arrogance as you do.
You probably never will. You don't even like me, do you? Come on, answer. Everybody's listening. You don't like me, do you?
I can't say you're one of my favorite people.
Well, let me show you something. You know, I don't care what you don't like. Because, hey, hang loose, baby. Be cool. Come on, don't move. This is a gun. You probably don't know nothing about that because you probably ain't got enough money to afford nothing like that. You either. See, that gun could be loaded or unloaded. You don't know nothing about guns, so I won't let you touch it. But I will tell you this. I have a lot more than this.
All right, we'll be back with David Schultz and his entire gun collection, hopefully.
That's beautiful.
We love the 1980s wrestling era, when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lainey Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
Please welcome in our new sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Go to underdogfantasy.com and you'll discover that Underdog Fantasy is the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. Underdog Fantasy lets you draft a fantasy dream team in minutes. Sign up now with the code POWERTRIP and you'll double your first deposit up to $100 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit of $10 or more. That's right, deposit $100 and get $100 for free. Underdog keeps it simple with their easy-to-use website and mobile apps. Pick between 2 and 5 players to fill out your pick'em slip, get every pick right, and take home some cold, hard cash. Use that promo code POWERTRIP and get your first deposit doubled up by $100 by Underdog. That's underdogfantasy.com. Use the promo code POWERTRIP today.